You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
I've always said at Adamus, if someone's going to take the time to drive all the way up the mountain on Howe Mountain and spend time with us, we want it to be worth their while. And so we love being teachers and educators, if you will, and we love spending the time taking every guest through the vineyard and answering questions and talking about anything from our pruning process to irrigation. We want them to taste the vines in the vineyard and truly understand what goes in to making a fine wine.
Hi, I'm Kelly Edwards, and this is Let's Go Together, a podcast from Travel and Leisure about the ways travel connects us and what happens when you don't let anything stop you from seeing the world. On this episode, I'll be passing the mic to our guest host, Nina Ruggiero, Travel and Leisure's Deputy Digital Editor. She sits down for a conversation with winemaker Denise Adams, the co-proprietor of Adamus in Napa, California, and Chateau Femme-Plégade in Saint-Emilion, France, about the joys and challenges of winemaking in two of the most renowned wine regions in the world. Take it away, Nina.
Hello, everyone. My name is Nina Ruggiero, the Deputy Digital Editor at Travel and Leisure, and I'm so excited to be speaking with my guest, Denise Adams. So, Denise, can you introduce yourself to our listeners and tell us a little bit about what you do?
I'm Denise Adams, proprietor of Adamus, a wine estate in Napa, California, and Chateau Femme-Plégade in Saint-Emilion, France. I am involved in every aspect of both wineries, but I would say my passion is farming. This passion began as a very young child, and if I went missing, I could always be found in my grandfather's vegetable garden. In my teens, I became passionate about healthy eating and started my own vegetable garden. And then when I purchased my first home, I converted the entire property to organic farming. I remember building worm boxes and raised worms for compost because at the time, 35, 40 years ago, we did not have compost available commercially. I also built compost bins and even ordered ladybugs. All of this brings such vitality and life force into the soils. And so when we purchased our first property in France, I started immediately converting that vineyard to organic farming and became certified and then went on to become certified in biodynamic farming as well. And this is also true for Adamus in Napa.
That's amazing. Can you walk me through how you establish yourself as an expert in two of the most highly respected wine regions in the world, from the U.S. to France?
Well, even after several decades in the business, I still do not consider myself an expert at all. There's so much to learn about both of these properties and the wine industry in general, truly a lifetime study. I would say my education has been primarily a hands-on learning approach. I have been privileged to have worked with and mentored by some of the greatest men and women professionals in the industry, including my own teams. People who come to mind would be Michel Roland, Stéphane de Ronacourt, Philippe Melka, Corinne Combs, Michelle Combs from Ponte Canet, and Michael Wolff, just to name a few. But I also think experiencing two different vintages each year on two different continents has been extremely beneficial. After all, you only get one chance at a harvest per year.
Can you tell me a little bit about both estates, where they're located, and how it's different running a vineyard in France and in Napa?
Well, in Napa, we are on Howe Mountain in the small town of Angouin. And in Bordeaux, we are on the right bank of Bordeaux in a little village called Saint-Emilion. And these properties, I would say, are very similar in running each property, many more similarities than differences. I would say mainly because our core philosophy is exactly the same. We're passionate about farming and winemaking methods. We're certified organic and biodynamic on both properties. And for me, this is the highest level of farming one can achieve. And it all begins in the vineyard. And interestingly, our teams collaborate between one another and learn from one another constantly. But perhaps the main difference would be weather, soil type, and irrigation, and some slight cultural differences. But I realize when using best practices, it makes running both very similar.
And I was lucky enough to visit Adamus and to meet you and your team firsthand early last year. It was actually my last trip before COVID hit the U.S. Between the pandemic and the Napa fires, you faced so many challenges in the year since. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yes, it has indeed been a trying year, but we were able to create opportunities for close collaboration, I would say, despite the physical distance. Almost an inverse reaction. But the forced resiliency and creativity that come with or from adversity have taught me so much and have made my teams and me much stronger, I would say. We had to think even more so out of the box, although we considered ourselves out of the box thinkers. Being closed to guests and members on the property for months on end was something we'd never experienced before. So we went to great lengths to bring Adamus and Fomplicade to them. We created many tastings by Zoom, sending wines ahead of time in many cases, and also in many cases, sending along per request our cheese and charcuterie pairings, which included honey from the bees we raised on the property, our Cabernet Sauvignon and fig jams grown on the property, handmade breads, and our famous Fomplicade crackers so that we could give our very best from afar and create the most authentic experience possible without guests and members being actually on our property. I would say authenticity and heartfelt hospitality is something that Adamus and Fomplicade are known for and completely embrace. So we wanted to have guests and members feel connected to us and the farm in every way possible. I'm reminded that during these Zoom calls, we would take daily photos of the vineyard, photos of our animals, with sheep grazing, our chickens fertilizing, and Buttercup, our donkey, eating apples, and even team members working at a distance in the cellar. We wanted the guests and members to feel transported to Napa Valley in France during the Zoom time we had together. We even read poetry and just had wonderful conversation. It sustained us, to be sure. I think as much as it did our guests and members, we missed our connection to them very much, and it really helped us to press through these trying times.
And have you started to welcome guests back since? How has that been?
We have. We started welcoming guests back very recently, and in some ways, it's been quite emotional for us and guests, the reality of being able to shake hands, see one another's full face without masks, and taste together without all of the protocol has been an amazing experience and realization. And I'm sure one that we're not only grateful for today, but I'm sure it will be a gratitude that will stay with us forever.
That's great. And I remember when I was on property in Napa, we spoke extensively about your largely female team and how well you all work together. How have you worked together to overcome these hardships over the past year?
I'm so fortunate to have assembled a small family-like team who all share the same passion as I do, the same energy and commitment to our mission and vision. So I would say in our team, there's truly no weak link. A pandemic and fires in the same year knit us together, I would say even more. We encouraged one another, supported one another, and it was exhilarating to create new ideas together and overcome obstacles. Some of the ideas that came out of such challenge will actually continue to be implemented beyond COVID. And one example I was thinking of this morning is that when we were able to partially open a few months ago with all the necessary protocols in place, we adapted, such as instead of taking our guests through the vineyard in our famous antique Range Rovers, we would walk the vineyards for safety. And we sensed that guests not only felt very comfortable being outdoors in open air, but we noticed even a deeper connection in our conversations by walking, and a deeper connection between our guests and our farm and the vineyard, I would say, by walking. So this will now be a choice of the guests depending on their preference. And giving them a choice makes their experience even more customized than before. So out of this adversity, we have discovered many ways that we will keep in place.
Both of your businesses have been a joint collaboration between yourself and your husband. Can you tell me a little bit about that and what it's been like for the two of you running these businesses together and the roles that each of you play?
Yes, our first venture in wine growing and winemaking was in France. Many people expect it to be the other way around as Americans, farming and winemaking in our own country first, but it was France that we began this wonderful journey. My husband and I were both Francophiles, and so when he proposed many years ago, we decided to marry in France. And so we honeymooned in Saint-Emilion and kept going back year after year to renew our wedding vows. And we've met so many wonderful people and got to know the region really well. And we ended up discovering and purchasing Chateau Fonplagade in France. And then fast forward to many of our friends and family members teasing us a bit about spending all of our time and resources in a foreign country, it really, in some ways, inspired us to take what we've learned and bring that experience and our passion to Napa Valley.
And as the place where you began, what does the community and the region around Chateau Fonplagade really mean to you and your husband?
Well, it's interesting. I think that our neighbors and friends see our heart. For example, we resurrected a tower, a missing tower on the chateau about 4 or 5 years ago. And this was after replanting the vineyard and remodeling the cellar and converting everything to biodynamics. And this was really to preserve history for our community. Saint-Emilion is obviously one of the most prestigious wine growing regions in the world. And to be a part of forwarding its history and being stewards of this property was something that was really important to us.
And in Napa, with the fires in this past year, have you felt the community grow closer together?
Absolutely. There's no question that we've reached out more as neighbors, checking in on one another, sharing ideas together. In many ways, it's unified us in a way that is even better than before COVID.
We're taking a quick break. When we come back, Denise shares more about her love of wine and the joys of entertaining her guests.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Welcome back to Let's Go Together from Travel and Leisure. We return to guest host Nina Ruggiero and her conversation with winemaker Denise Adams.
Why do you think now it's more important than ever that people who love wine and who love California, or maybe who have never even been before, visit Napa and get to know that wine region?
Well, I think when we all collaborate together, it just makes each region more compelling and beautiful for everyone. I think that supporting one another and working together makes all of us better and forces all of us to use best practices.
I know that you have been extremely involved in both vineyards since their beginning, but that your husband, unfortunately, over the years has dealt with an illness. Can you tell us a little bit about that and how that has affected the two of you running these businesses together?
Well, I would say my involvement hasn't changed because of my husband's illness, but his certainly has. Stephen misses hosting guests with me and being in the vineyard and walking the vineyards, but he's still so very interested every single day about all of the ongoings. And it is usually the main topic of our dinner conversation every single evening. So we still share the passion, in many ways the same. It's just that he's not physically able to do what he used to do.
Do you two often bond with guests at one vineyard and then invite them across to Europe and vice versa?
Oh, this happens more often than you could imagine. Often, wherever we are, we're talking about the other vineyard as well, because they're so tied and connected together. So we do encourage guests before us to come to the other property. And I would say at least once or twice a month, I'm hosting someone at Adamus that I've hosted in France at Chateau Fomblegade and vice versa. It's really fun.
Do your teams tend to work together and intertwine at both properties?
Oh, they do. They're very much connected and they rely on each other for support. And again, using best practices, maybe a little over 2 years ago, our team took videos at Fomblegade to share with the team at Adamus on braiding the vines. And so we have been more accustomed to, in Napa, hosting guests on site and on property than in France. It's a relatively new endeavor for the French. And so Adamus has been very helpful to the French team as well in so many ways. And of course, they visit back and forth and share ideas.
And you started out talking about your passion for farming. That's something that, for me, is so memorable from your Napa property, from the animals to your on-site beekeeper. Can you tell me a little bit about that and all of the other things going on at the Napa property in addition to the wine?
Yes, well, we take a holistic approach to our farming. And so at both properties, we're certified organic and certified biodynamic. And this practice is vital because we're really trying to bring life force and vitality into the soil so that our vines develop a healthy immune system.
And at both properties, you seem to have such loyal followings. And like you said, then you have people who are visiting you in Napa and then coming over to France just to see your other vineyard. What do you think it is that keeps people coming back?
The wine. The wine captivates our guests. And I honestly don't remember a time when a guest left the property without wanting our wines in their cellar. As I mentioned earlier, each of our team members work together to constantly further the quality of the wines. And we're blessed at both Chateau Fontblagade and Adamus with world-class terroir and vineyard sites, which is imperative to the end result. It's just truly a privilege to be able to steward these two properties at the highest level because we know our efforts will bring huge reward. I also believe that guests depart feeling very intimately connected to our property because we're so connected. The vineyard is the heartbeat of everything we do, and it's really important to us for guests to understand why. I also have to mention, again, our hospitality passion. I'm so fortunate that I've been able to assemble a staff who naturally take ownership and not only fully embrace our biodynamic philosophy, but have true service hearts. Authenticity comes to mind, as we all innately love spoiling every guest and creating an unforgettable experience at both properties. We only take one appointment at a time in order to spend such quality time together and privately. So our guests and members have the property virtually all to themselves. And I believe they find this very restorative. And our members return over and over again each time, exploring a new aspect of the property. And I think inviting friends is a pleasure and joy to them because they've discovered something they want to share with others. So we get to see them often, and that brings us much reward and pleasure.
I think you've touched on this really nicely, but I'd love to get even a little bit more into the way that you and your team work to make wine not just something that people drink, but something that is worth traveling for, and that is the destination. Can you tell me a little bit about bringing people's love for wine to that next level?
Yes, well, I've always said at Adamus, if someone's going to take the time to drive all the way up the mountain on Howe Mountain and spend time with us, we want it to be worth their while. And so we love being teachers and educators, if you will, and we love spending the time taking every guest through the vineyard and answering questions and talking about anything from our pruning process to irrigation. We want them to taste the vines in the vineyard and truly understand what goes in to making a fine wine. There are differences and different levels of winemaking, and to be able to share what does set certain estates apart, I think is received so well, and we just get great questions.
And what do you think it is about working with women that makes this business and all of these relationships flow so nicely?
Well, we work with a few men also. We like diversity. You know, I didn't set out to hire an all-female team. I just simply chose the most qualified person for the position. And it just so happened, at least at the beginning, many of our team members were female. There's a lot of attention to detail with everything that we do, a lot of collaboration, a lot of credit given to one another. And I think we all enjoy being able to collaborate in such a way that makes us all feel that we're going down the same path and working on something larger than us together. We're involved in a part of history and historic culture that in many ways is what I would call noble work.
You've been through a lot together, as we touched on, from fires to COVID hitting the hospitality industry to your husband's illness. What are the greatest lessons that your work in both locations have taught you?
The greatest lesson I've learned is patience. Farming grapes and becoming world renowned is not an instant gratification endeavor. It takes careful thought, strategy, investment with both time and resources for the long haul. Every single day, I realize the decisions I make, especially in the vineyard, are actually for my grandchildren and great-grandchildren. I want to hand over to them a legacy that's generational, a legacy of integrity and unparalleled quality and detail. And it's just so rewarding to imagine that my grandchildren will have a feeling of pride, of ownership, and gratitude for years of work that was laid before them, launching them forward to even greater excellence. Another lesson, especially in the year of 2020, hands down, is resilience and perseverance. And I believe I've also learned to be a better listener, especially listening to the voice of our vineyard, which is the most important voice on our team, and listening to our members and paying close attention to what is meaningful to them has also been very rewarding. And of course, as we touched upon earlier, there are so many lessons learned in biodynamic farming. The reality that the synergies between vine health and my own health has had a huge impact on me personally. I would say the main goal in our farming practices is to bring total life force and vitality into the soil, which brings the full spectrum of nutrients these vines need to become more resilient to pests, diseases, and even extreme climate conditions. Simply put, we are helping the vine build a healthy immune system, just as I practice with my own health. So we care for each of our vines in many ways, the same way we care for our own bodies. And as you know, humans and plants are, of course, both living organisms. And the daily lessons that transfer or cross over for each are fascinating. We all need light, watered, pruned, and fed. Every human being should have the care and attention each of our vines receive at Chateau Fontblancard and Adamus.
That's really great. And is there any one lesson that you would pass down to your children and your grandchildren as one day they take on this role from you?
I would say, once again, patience. Having the patience to allow the vines to reach their fullest potential and not being impatient with wanting immediate results.
Great. Denise, I just want to say thank you so much for talking to me about all of this today. Visiting you was such a memorable trip for me, again, especially my last trip right before COVID. And I've been to many vineyards, but I think there's really something special about your property and your entire team. So I just want to thank you for taking the time to speak with us today.
Oh, it was my pleasure, Nina. And I hope to see you at Adamus again and in France at Chateau Fomplegade.
Definitely.
This has been Let's Go Together, a podcast by Travel and Leisure. I'm Kelly Edwards. Your guest host for this episode was Nina Ruggiero, Deputy Digital Editor at Travel and Leisure. And our guest was Denise Adams. Follow Nina on Instagram at NinaMarieNYC and learn more about Denise's wineries, Adamus at AdamVS.com and Chateau Fomplegade at Fomplegade.com. That's FomPlegade.com. Be sure to follow Let's Go Together on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts so you don't miss an episode. And if you're enjoying the show, we would really appreciate it if you could leave us a rating and review. Join us again next week as we visit Provincetown, Massachusetts, located at the tip of Cape Cod, with our guest, author, and essayist, Jordan Kistner. Thanks to our production team at Pod People, Rachel King, Matt Sav, Danielle Roth, Lena Beck-Sillison, and Marvin Yeh. This show was recorded in Los Angeles, edited in New York City, and can be found wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks also to the team at Travel and Leisure, Deanne Kurzerski, Nina Ruggiero, and Tanner Saunders. You can find out more at travelandleisure.com/podcast. You can find Travel and Leisure on Instagram at Travel and Leisure, on Twitter at Travel Leisure, on TikTok at Travel and Leisure Mag, and you can find me at Kelly Set Go. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you back here next week for more from Let's Go Together.